So the Spirit activated us on this day. Thank you because we're sad and we're tired and we're sore. Oh, we give you praise. We give you praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. Alright, let's look at what goes on to the 166. Thank you.
Good question.
Thank you, Lord.
Good question. Another question.
What's KJV?
KJV. Thank you.
You know, there's something too important about
what?
The assignment of the birth is not new.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It's lagging new to us.
Yeah.
But it's not new. His importance is so vital that he will have us, you know, be stand up again, to be reminded again about his own ministry in and amongst us, his own assignment in and amongst us, his own purpose in and amongst us. And I trust that a lot of that will be achieved here tonight. Because there will be that throughout ministry of the Spirit in the context of me ministering by his anointing and teaching you his word and speaking as he gives you utterance, but him also speaking to you, revealing to you, even as our ministry, because that the dual ministry of the Spirit that I need is. So he speaks to me, he speaks to you, and he speaks to me, and he speaks to you. And there will be revelations in this house tonight. Oh, there will be revelations. The eyes of understanding will be flooded with light. There will be visions in this house tonight. There will be clarity. Yet tonight, there will be so much clarity, absolute clarity, beautiful clarity. Yet tonight. Because he is the one and self-same Spirit that understands everything about God. That's who he is. That's what he does. That's his assignment. Praise God. Because Jesus speaking to his disciples, was speaking to them in John chapter 14 and the 16th verse of John 14. And he said to them that I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter who will abide with you forever. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. And I know you understand this, and I know a lot of us who preach this, teach it, you know, break it up, and then crack it up. And you can explain, you know, how those characters and all. So yes, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter. So someone just like me, oh, praise God. But as much as you might understand me, another, from the context of another of the same kind, as much as you might understand the context from another, like the one just like me, nothing separate, I'd like you to understand this context. Or I am giving you the comforter that comforted me. Or to follow me. Because the ministry of Jesus was the ministry of us.
System.
Everything about his life was the Holy Spirit. The angel came to Mary, gave her the word from God, and Mary asked the angel, how will this thing be seen that I know God? Oh man, you know the answer. The angel says to have the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, so there would have been no breath of Jesus without the Holy Ghost. So he wasn't someone who came when Jesus was living. He was the one that was there for Jesus to have been born. So the child that was born was a child of the Spirit. Don't forget when Mary heard the good news and went to the house of Elizabeth. And while she spoke with Elizabeth, the baby in Elizabeth's womb was filled with the Holy Ghost. He had been active. He had been present. Don't forget when Jesus was born and was taken to the temple for dedication. Simeon showed up. Move by the Spirit.
Hold on. If you are
the prophet is saying, move by the Spirit, testifying and prophesying. You are the Holy Ghost. Then we see baptized by the river Jordan.
You are praying, heavens opened. Spirit descended in the form of a dove. It was the Holy Ghost. That means Jesus would not begin ministry until he was endued with power himself. Bible then tells us that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. And after he was there 40 days, tempted of the devil and came out victorious, Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. So he had always been there. There would have been no ministry of Jesus without the Holy Ghost. So when he said, I will give you another comforter, not I am going, someone is coming. No, the person had always been here. If you follow the context, he said he had been with you. He will now be in you. So he was always with them. In the ministry of Jesus. No, under Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. And we power went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He had always been present, guys. Very much present. Even the crucifixion of Jesus could never have been accomplished without the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 9:14 tells us that. That he offered up himself through the eternal Spirit. So in him living, he wasn't saying, you know, so I'm going to give you another comforter. You know, he's just like me. You know, he acts like me. You know, he talks like me. No, 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 no. Without him, I won't have a ministry. Because Jesus, being God, didn't show up here as God. He came in the form and the likeness of a man. Laying aside his own heavenly ways and glory. Waiting, therefore, for the endowment like we would. Anybody understanding this? So you now find Jesus, the greatest man to have walked this earth, saying, I could do none of the things I did without him. Listen, if he couldn't, then we can't. Oh, if he couldn't, then we can't. If he couldn't, then we can't. If he couldn't, then we can't. Oh, the moves of Jesus. So awesome. He walked in that fullness. Ministered with that fullness. Ever ready. Even when he told his disciples, let's go apart for a while and rest. And then he saw the crowd coming. He rose up again and ministered to them. Ever ready. It was a fullness of the Spirit. The influence of the Spirit. So he says, I will give you another comforter. So I know we've done a lot of stuff explaining that part. But I'm saying don't think of another like, oh, I'm going. So he will come. He never left. He's always been here. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face. Upon the face of the earth, right? So who happened next? Or what happened next? Who came up? You know, because we say, this is the dispensation of the Spirit. I'm asking, when was not the dispensation of the Spirit? When was he never there? He was the first of them all to show up. He moved upon the face of the water. Then God spoke the word, but he moved. He's always been available, always been active, always been ready. No operation of God upon this earth happened without him. Come on, guys. How were the scriptures written? Holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He's always been present. Never absent. Never absent. So don't relegate him until when Jesus left, then he came. No, then he could come into man. That's what we're trying to say. Then he could enter man. Then man had the capacity to receive him because man has now been recreated in the spirit. That's a difference. But he's always been present, never absent. Who is this spirit? He's a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1 that God will grant unto us a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation. So who is the spirit? He's one that gives revelation. He's one that opens the eyes of understandings. He's one that helps us see things that we don't see naturally, can't see naturally. Who is the spirit? Is the person who knows the mind of God. We all know 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the 9th verse says, as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the thing that God had prepared for them that love him. But you know verse 10, but God has revealed these things to us. How? By the Spirit. He is the revealer. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. I love 11 that says, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man that is in him? Even so, the things of God knows nobody but the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. He knows the mind of God. He knows the mind of God. He is the revealer. Who is this spirit? You can call him the mind of Christ. Why? Because by the time we get to the 16th verse, we say, oh, we have the mind of Christ. How did we get the mind of Christ? 11 again says, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man that is in him? Even so, the things of God knows nobody but the spirit of God. 12 says, now we have received, not the spirit of this world. We have received, not about to receive, not going to receive, not after 40 days and fasting we will receive. You know, sometimes, and I understand it. You know, Jesus in Acts 1, I'll be back here in a minute. In Acts 1 said you would receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So because we don't see the effect, we don't see power amongst the church, we now say maybe what you got was the Holy Ghost. Now you now need to go and get the power. No. No. 1,000 times no. They say, but why then don't we see the power? Because the power carriers don't know what they carry. Not because they need power. For he hasn't given you the spirit of fear, but of power. You have been given. So Paul told Timothy, stir it up. So it's not ask for more. The one you have, you've not done anything with it. Oh, but I feel powerless. It's a feeling. And you don't walk by feeling. That's why Ephesians 1 didn't say that they may feel that they have the power. He said that the eyes of their understanding may be enlightened. That they may know the riches of your glorious inheritance in them. They may know the purpose, the highest of your calling in their lives. And they may know the exceeding greatness of your power that is at work within them. So it's revelation needed now, not a feeling. If it's about feeling, we're sunk. We're forever defeated. Feelings can't be trusted. Feelings are fickle. So Paul didn't pray that you may feel it. He said that you may know. That you may be full with it. Full with it. Full with it. The day we got the Holy Ghost, we got the power. The day we got the Holy Ghost, we got the power. So the people who have the power must stir it up. I love how Paul said it to Philemon. He said, the communication of your faith becomes effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ. When you acknowledge it is there, it fans the flame. It fans the flame. I'm not powerless. And that's your confession. Resurrection power is inside me. I said, but I don't feel it. It's not a feeling. Listen, if we go by what that verse said, we would like to remove it out of the Bible. You know what the verse is telling us? Because God's demonstration of power was resurrection. Now, I said, that exact power that raised Jesus up has been willed to you. What do we do? That the eyes of my understanding may be flooded. What we like to call revelation is when you have rev that you can share. No, this is not rev to share. This is when it dawns on you. Revelation means to reveal, to uncover, to open up. When your eyes are open to see, and all you see is that, and nobody can beat you out of it. Who is this spirit? We're quoting 1 Corinthians 2, 11 into 12. 12 says, we have received the Spirit. Not the spirit of the world, but a spirit that is from God. So the person we have is the one that knows the mind of God. Don't forget, what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man that is in him. Even so, the things of God knows nobody but the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God knows everything about the mind of God. He knows the mind of God. And please, that's why when you spend time praying, don't be focused too much on how much time you spent praying, more than how much revelation you received in prayer or because of the prayer. You know, go brag over, I spent 5 hours. Brag over, oh, I spent 30 minutes. Brag over, oh, I spent 48 hours. Brag over all of that. But the essence of it, you know, especially when you want to be clear in the direction for your life, is not the time, but the instruction. Because you that knows nothing, you spend the time talking and allow the person that knows everything not to say anything. Did you hear what I said? So you want to brag about it. Unconsciously sometimes. Oh, you're praying about what you want to study. Maybe your master's. Maybe I've had to give as an example lately. And then you're praying about masters. Masters. And then right there, you just speak in your spirit. Google the name of the school you want to go to. And then you wave it off. Distraction. I want to spend 5 hours. 5 hours. Google this. Google. It is not the time you spend in the prayer. It was the answer you were looking for. And the moment you opened your mouth, the answer came. Google this school. He wanted to show you something there. Maybe the course you were thinking the school offered, the school canceled it last week. You don't know. And then in Jesus' name, you need to know. He's saying he knows what you don't know. Maybe you were praying someone and he says, go check the gas. No, distraction. No, maybe the gas was left turned on. He's not a distraction. He is your fellowship. He is your focus. He is your attention. Because if you're not careful, we like form. The form. I mean, it's okay when we lie prostrate, but if you're not careful, it starts becoming form. So a person on this chair is on the floor. Next person on the chair is on the floor. Person after that is on the floor. You're the only person standing now wondering, something wrong with me? Nothing is wrong with you. Don't go with form. There are different postures in prayer. Jesus said, when you stand, pray. So I can stand. We have examples in the Bible where people fell prostrate or faced the wall, or like Elijah that bent his head between his knees. We have those lovely examples, very many of them. But David also talked about lying on his bed and meditating on God's precepts. That's a form of that. I mean, it's a posture. And I love Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were gathered together in one accord in one place. And then suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. That means sitting is a position. Because if sitting cannot be a prayer position, the Holy Ghost will not come when they are sitting. Say, you are irreverent. Stand up. Onida, let me come upon you and baptize you now. You know, so if you're not careful, we like form. And then some people get tired of praying because we're teaching them form. You didn't pray this way. You didn't pray that way. You didn't pray this way. It could be form. The most important thing is to build that intimacy with the person that knows all things. For we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit that is of God. that we may know the things that have been freely given to us of God. These things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but in words that the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual truths with spiritual. It says, a natural man understands not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? The answer now comes and says, we have the mind of Christ. How did we get the mind of Christ? For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man that is in him? Even so, the things of God knows nobody but the spirit of God. So the day you got the spirit of God, you got the mind of Christ. Because the person that entered into you is the person that knows the mind of God. So when I say I have the mind of Christ, what I'm saying is I have the Holy Ghost. Because who is the Holy Ghost? The one that knows the thoughts of God. Who is the Holy Ghost? The one that knows what God is doing now. Anybody gets me? He is the revealer. I love how Daniel put it in Daniel chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar, you know the story, was going to just hack everybody down. Why? Because he had a dream. And then he forgot his own dream. So he wants them to tell him the dream and interpretation of the dream. I think Pharaoh acted better in that sense. Pharaoh told them the dream. I wanted interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar says, I don't care. I don't remember my dream. I don't remember the interpretation of my dream. And someone has to pay for it right here, right now. Then I said, no problem. That there's a God in heaven that reveals secrets. He knew the revealer. He reveals secrets. He says he knows what is in the darkness, because light dwelleth within him. Are you here trying to make a decision, bumping left, bumping right? Pause. The revealer lives in you. I refuse to stumble. I refuse to live like I'm without the Holy Ghost. Don't turn yourself to a prayer project. Don't turn yourself to some people. No, no, no. Someone says, but what is happening? No, no, no. Listen, the person with you knows the mind of Christ, because he is the mind of Christ. Sometimes we're lazy to want to hear God for ourselves. We just want everybody to tell us something about God. No. You've been raised into sonship. You're not someone outside the house that must be told what's going on at home. Your father willingly, lovingly reveals his thoughts to you. Jesus said in John 16, 13, that when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Are you here? And then the Holy Ghost is in you. Don't act like a mere person. This business failed. That business failed. Someone says, go and fast. And that person says, no, break bread. Someone else said, no, sow seed. And that person says, no, go and serve. Everybody's telling you what might have worked for them. What's he telling you? What's he telling you? You are not without the helper. You are not without the Holy Ghost. And then you tried everything they said. It wasn't working because he didn't tell you. What did he say to you? Because he said that in the New Testament, they will not say to one another, come and know the Lord. He said, they will know me, saith God. From the least to the greatest, I'll reveal myself to them. I will write my laws on their hearts by myself. So there's a typing of the Holy Ghost on your heart. There's a moving of the Holy Ghost inside of you. Turn this way. Everybody's not going that way. You, turn this way. You, because I have something to say to you. He is the revealer. He is the wisdom and the counsel and the power of God. Isaiah 11 from verse 1 begins to talk to us about the stem of Jesse, the root that came out of the dry ground. From verse 2 begins to talk about what we've popularly referred to as the seven spirits of God. And by the time you look at what Isaiah is teaching us from 11 and then 2 there, you see that, oh, the operations of the Spirit, they don't necessarily have to be dramatic. You know, so we like drama. If it's not dramatic, maybe it's not the Holy Ghost. No, the Holy Ghost is not dramatic. He is the Holy Ghost. Don't box him up. Oh, thank you, Lord. Who is this spirit? So Isaiah 11 is talking to us and tells us that he is what? That the spirit of the Lord rests upon him. That's the spirit of lordship and dominion. The spirit of wisdom, is that correct? What else is there? The spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of what again? Knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. The major drama you can find in all of that will be might. The rest doesn't seem powerful. Fear of the Lord. Except it comes upon people to make them quick. It just comes with ease. Wisdom and understanding. In fact, wisdom and understanding is so simple you might not notice anything about it. Let me ask you this. So who was more anointed, Samson or Joseph? Maybe none. The same Holy Ghost working in diverse ways. But Samson had more drama. His birth was supernaturally announced. He now had a list of instructions that Jesus did not even have too. Nobody gave instructions when Jesus was born. They didn't talk about his hair. They didn't tell him what to eat or what to drink. He was nothing. He was Jesus. But Samson had supernatural announcement. Samson had instructions on what to do and what not to do. Then Samson was just that man crush every day. I mean, who wouldn't want to be Samson's best friend? He was just a go-to guy. Ladies' man, men's man, children's man, everybody's man. You won't see Samson, I want to hardly angry. I just pally with him. That's my best friend. You just take a selfie with him every morning. Because you just don't understand what happens to Samson. If Samson was a muscular guy, you won't ask where the secret of his power is. He looked normal, regular guy. Suddenly, something happens to him and he picks everything up. I'm sure if you have his friend, you say, do it again. Samson, get angry, do it again. Because you want him to show, because you're wondering, you know, if Samson was muscular, you would say, oh, he goes to the gym every day. He drinks egg yolk. Nothing. It was the Holy Ghost coming upon an ordinary man, making him extraordinary. Samson picks up 300 foxes, ties them tail to tail, sets fire on them. Samson leads up the gate of a city, not the gate of a house, which even that we cannot carry. Samson leads the gate of a city. Maybe even picked it like this. Samson picked the jawbone of an ass and knocked everybody out. Samson was a secret of his strength. So you see power in manifestation. I know someone in person. Everybody had left church. Everybody had gone home. And the generator was out there. Everybody had gone. He said, I can't leave this thing there. It's not okay. And he went to the generator. Tried leaving. He said, I just came back to the gen. And he, you know, dropped it back in there. He said he had gone and he said, what did I do? Then he came back. What happened to him? The influence of the Spirit. It's available. There are people that have pushed cars on their own that they couldn't push before and after that day. But they just, God, this car cannot sleep here tonight. And they started. And the car, they parked. And the next day, how did he get here? I pushed it. It's not possible. Try it again. No, I know I can't. Listen, most times we think we are alone. So the only part of the Spirit that we are used to is guidance. No, the spirit of might. Some now like the might part, but they like it in a church service. The drama part. No. You want to move furniture at home? Who told you the spirit of might cannot come upon you or be stirred up within you? There's trouble, so you need to get your kids out as fast as well. Who told you the spirit of might cannot help you there? He is the Holy Spirit. Don't box him. But it's the same Holy Ghost that moved upon Joseph into the palace of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, this is my dream. Joseph said, this is the interpretation. That was the Holy Ghost. Because that same Holy Ghost was what moved upon Daniel. And we're told that an excellent spirit was found in Daniel. Because he could break down hard things. That means I could be at my desk tomorrow morning and know I'm not there alone. The spirit of counsel is with me. The spirit of wisdom and understanding is with me. The Holy Spirit is with me. I'm not alone. Don't relegate him into church, into that person that when we are rolling on the floor is the one making us roll. He's not always in the drama. Sometimes you roll because you want to roll and it's fine. Please roll. It's good. Sometimes some people now dramatize the rolling and put it on camera. I'm wearing white, so I'm going to roll to show all of you I'm humble. You know, you could be humble and proud about it. But I hope you roll in your heart when he gives you instructions. Because you could roll in front of every one of us. And then he tells you right there, that person that offended you, forgive. And you say, no, Lord. No, roll there. Don't roll on the stage. That's where to have rolled. That's why I said, Lord, I give it up. Let it go. I'm fine. We like show. We like the camera unconsciously. We like it in a public space. But there's so much to do, to work on, to organize. Who is this spirit? The judges in Israel couldn't function without him. Moses could have no ministry without him. There was nothing Moses could do without this Holy Ghost. Who is this Holy Spirit? Samuel poured oil upon King Saul, or Saul making him king, and the Spirit rested on him. Samuel poured oil on David. We call it the anointing oil. So sometimes we now focus more on the oil than what it represents. It's the Spirit of God. David could not function without him. David could do nothing without the Holy Ghost. Oh, who is the Spirit? Back to that John 14, Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter. I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. The day he came into you is the day he came into you. He would never leave you. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't know how to leave you. He doesn't know how. You need to hear the way I'm saying it. He does not know how to leave. Because he wasn't sent to leave. He was sent to stay. He is the Holy Spirit. You need to get who he is. Who is this Spirit? So I'll go and come back here. Bible calls him your seal. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. He's your seal. So the seal is not what you remove and put back. No, he's your seal. In him also you trusted, Ephesians 1:13. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you have believed, you were sealed after believing. Sealed with who? What is a seal? NIV maybe, to help somebody. 13 into 14. We'll just read it up together so you get this. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were what? Marked in him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit. Say, I've been marked. You know, sometimes believers are afraid of the mark of the beast. I'm wondering, how many marks do you want to collect? There's a mark on you already. Say, I've been marked. Say, I'm marked. Marked in him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit. who is the deposit, watch this, guaranteeing our inheritance unto the redemption of those who are God's purchased possession, to the praise and the glory of his name. This is what God did. I came and said, I want this product. I'm told the price of the product. I'm asked, all right, am I paying everything? I said, well, I'll do a down payment and then full payment in 2 weeks. I said, okay. So I dropped my down payment. I'm giving a receipt. I'm issued a receipt. This product can no longer be sold because I put down my down payment. So there's a mark on the product. Sold, my receipt attached somewhere showing the amount I paid and how much I'm coming back to pay. When someone else says, can I have the product? I say, no, it's not available. It is sealed. There's a down payment. So that's why verse 14 here says, it is what? A deposit. Guaranteeing our inheritance. Oh, I don't know if I will make heaven. No, you have the deposit. The person, listen, you don't pay for a product and go away. Then the product is now telling the cashier, please call them so they don't forget me here. The product wouldn't be screaming, manager, please call them. I'm still here. They should not forget me. No, the person who dropped your down payment is coming back for you. So believers, being that I don't know if I will make heaven, it is not your business to try to make the heaven. Someone came and dropped deposit for you and said, I am coming back to pick you. I dropped my down payment, guaranteeing that you are my own. That you are my possession. You're sealed already. Oh Lord, my prayer is to make heaven. Do you know who you are? You are an ambassador. An ambassador doesn't pray to go home. He knows how to get home whenever he needs to go home. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. An ambassador can go. An ambassador is the one that now helps others to get home. That's why you are an ambassador for Christ, going to preach the gospel. You're not trying to get home. You help other people to get into your own home. Bible calls us citizens of heaven. A citizen is not looking for visa. If they will deport you from anywhere, you're coming back home. So if anything happens to you here, you're going home. You're a citizen. If I'm deported, I'm going home. Who is understanding it? Or where do they take citizens to? Home country. If anything happens to you here, home. You're going home. Home is where citizens belong. Because you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. You've come to the heavenly Jerusalem. You're not trying to come. You're home already. Function with that mindset. He is your seal. He is upon you as a seal. Everywhere you move, there's a seal upon you. You are marked. You are heaven's possession. Though Ephesians 4, now speaking, Paul says, grieve not the Holy Spirit by whom you have been sealed. He uses that again, seal. Someone says, oh, that means if I grieve him, he will leave him. No, he didn't say he will leave. He just said he is your seal. So don't grieve him. It's like someone is taking my kids somewhere and I say, you know, uncle is going to take you to XYZ place. Be nice, all right? Don't jump while uncle is driving. You know, uncle needs to take you there. So let him be focused on his journey. Uncle cannot drop my kids in the middle of the road. Anybody getting there? So Holy Ghost cannot say, I'm grieved. Calm down. No. He knows he's here as a seal. His job is a deposit until the full redemption. When not only your spirit will have eternal life, but your body itself is glorifying with the life of God. When mortality will be swallowed up by life. When the third and final stage of redemption takes place. The redemption of our bodies. That's the final payment. Because we've been redeemed. But our bodies are still in a mortal state. Our spirits carry the life and the nature of God. Oh, but then there will come that time where we'll be changed. Changed. And like Jesus, you'll be able to pass through things. And it is not now. Pray for it, fast about it. Forgive me. It's not now. Take this thing face by face. Don't rush into immortality. Men have done major and mighty things upon the earth with their mortal bodies. John Lake shook South Africa in just 5 years with his mortal body. He didn't need an immortal body to do that. Use the one you have now. When the next phase unfolds, you will enter into it. And it will be a glorious one. Without spot or wrinkles. The church just marching triumphant. Because he said, sit at my right hand till I make my enemies, footstool. He is not the one that will be putting the enemy at his feet. We are the feet. We are part of the body. The body has the feet. When you think about a seal, you think about a brand. Allow me say, the Holy Spirit is your brand. I know we like branding. It's good to brand. We like to flex and it's good. But as a Christian business person, as a Christian career person, your logo is not your eternal brand. It's the Holy Ghost upon you that is your brand. As a minister of the gospel, thank God for the tushness of names of ministries. But there are ministries that don't have names and they are impactful. Because the brand is not the logo. The brand is the anointing. When Saul died, David cried and said, how come he died like one that was not anointed? It means there was a brand. We are known by the anointing. We have results by that anointing. That is our brand. Sometimes we cry and say, the location of my business, the location of my business, the place my shop was placed is inside. And we say, yes, in real estate, there are three important things. Location, location, location. And I agree. But in the realm of the spirit, it is not location. In natural terms, it's his own location. If he moves you to the last shop, on the last roll, in the last aisle, of the last complex, of the last street, in the last estate. People can pass by every store, every estate, every complex, and they shop with you and at your place. And everybody wonders why. I say, because I'm branded. They say, oh, is it your logo? No, I'm branded. Oh, is it where you put your signboard? No, I'm branded. Listen, you don't put sugar on the floor and pray for ants to gather. When sugar shows up, ants show up. There's something about the anointing. That when the influence of the Holy Ghost is upon a man, people will find their way to you. So with all the Holy Ghost we have, we're learning how to position and drive traffic. Stay with the Spirit. Stay with the Spirit. If we were in the time of John the Baptist, we would have told him he needed branding skills. That John, let's teach you a little bit about branding, bro. You can't remain inside that wilderness, bro. Bro, you can't be eating locusts and wild honey. It doesn't help your brand, bro. Bro, you can't be wearing this. Who wears this in this time? Check out your cousin Jesus. He has swag. See his brand, bro. He's always rolling with the people, bro. See him, man. He's clean. He's hanging out with the peeps. But Bible said John was in the wilderness and all the city was going to him to be baptized. So your location is important, but which location? This one or this one? Find your real location. Get the influence of the Holy Ghost and allow it move. In Matthew 11, Jesus was talking about John. And I'm sure you know when Jesus began to speak and said, that the kingdom of God suffers violence from the time of John the Baptist, and it's important. But I think the 16th verse or so of 11, let's see what 16 say of that Matthew 11. It says, yeah, but what will I say or liken this generation to be? And I want you to listen to what God is saying about this generation. Jesus said it then, but we're saying it now. Message translation. We'll read 16 into 18. You would see something here. Because you cannot please people. You know, when you don't have a job and you didn't go to school, they will say it's because you didn't go to school that you don't have a job. But when you don't have a job and you can do well, they say, ha, see, school is not important for everybody. When you have masters and you get a good job, they say, see, people need to do their masters. And then when you have masters and then you have a good job or you're still trying to get a job, they say, with all your masters. What do we say about this generation? How can I account for this generation, Jesus said. The people have been like spoiled children whining to their parents. We wanted to skip rope and you were always too tired. We wanted to talk, but you were always too busy. Watch this. John came fasting and they called him crazy. I came feasting and they called me a lush, a friend of riffraffs. Watch this. Opinion polls don't count for much, do they? The proof of the pudding is in the eating. It's Jesus. So if it was John, they say he's crazy. If it's Jesus, so which one should we do to please the public? Follow God. Jesus did what he needed to do because that's how God would have him function. John did what John needed to do because that's how John was to function. Yeah, but his ministry was cut short. Oh, then he ended up in prison. Then they beheaded him. What a short life. Jesus said, there's no man on this earth born that has a ministry as impactful and as effective as John the Baptist. Not Moses. Not Elijah. Not Elisha. Nobody. All the prophets until him. All prophecy stopped at John the Baptist. Because everybody was prophesying about Jesus. John said, this is Jesus. He didn't need to prophesy. He pointed at the person. All prophecy stopped at John. Become the Holy Ghost brand. Let him, listen, don't, when you finish, whatever you want to wear tomorrow morning, wear one more thing. And it's not your cologne. Dress up in the anointing. Don't leave home without it. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Now, I know you're always anointed. I'm speaking in context. A consciousness of it. A consciousness of it. He's your brand. He is the seal. Who is the spirit? Amplified of John 14:16 gives us seven names of the Holy Ghost. Some versions use comforter. Some use counselor. But Amplified said something that is important. Breaking it down in seven places. And I love them. Who is the Holy Ghost? It says, I would ask the Father and he would give you another helper. Comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, and he will be with you forever. Somebody say forever. So if the Holy Ghost has a name called helper, there's nobody helpless here. No matter how bad it is, no matter how bad it has been, no matter how bad it might be, listen, you are not helpless. You cannot be helpless. You are not without help. Do you have a Holy Spirit? Close your eyes and say, I'm helped. Tell him, not me, I'm helped. You are my helper. You are my helper. You are my helper. You are my helper. Is there a project that looks big for you? You are not alone. You have a helper. I have a helper. You are my helper. You are my helper. How has your year been? Good, great, bad? There is a helper. You are my 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 helper. Hey, you are my helper. My ever-present help. Not past, not future. My help now. My help now. You are my help now. Lord, now. I'm not without a help. I'm not without a helper. I've got a helper in you. I've got a helper in you. I've got a helper in you. Helper. 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 He's in me now. He's in me now. Oh, and an answer sufriado cosa. We are helped. You have come to a place of forever help. Because your helper is a matchless mighty one. He was the one that helped Mary. He was the one that helped Martha. He was the one that helped Elizabeth. He was the one that helped Job. He helped Jonah. He's been the helper all through the scriptures. He is the one that helped Gideon to become a mighty man. He took David from being at the backside, a shepherd of sheep, to being the captain of Israel. He is the matchless helper. We talk about David having mighty men. Oh, they were in debt. They were in distress, you know, and they were just messed up. And now David converted them. How? It was by the Holy Ghost. Because by him you can run against a troop. Oh, by him you can leap over every wall. He lights your lamp. He enlightens your darkness. He is the one that makes your feet like hinds' feet. He is the one that helps you to walk upon the high places. He is your helper. Is there a high fence in front of you? He's the one that scales it for you. Are the people around you looking like non-entities? He can convert their status. Is everything about you seem not to be working? He can make the non-working thing to become working. Oh, Abraham's body was now dead, even the deadness of Sarah's womb, but the spirit of life was activated. And she that could not give birth, gave birth because of a helper. 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 No wonder David knew him. David said, the Lord is my help. My helper. My helper. That means I can look at Goliath and say, I have help. I've not killed a giant like you before, but I had help in killing a bear. I had help in killing a lion. You, Goliath, you're just like one of them because I'm not without help. I might look like a little boy, but I've got the big one. I've got the helper. The one that opened the Red Sea with the blast of his nostrils. What is this challenge in front of me? Who is this? What is this mountain? Who is the mountain? Whether a who mountain or a what mountain? Someone said you can't get your way through. No. I got a helper. I've 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 got a helper. And he lives in me now. And he won't just help me. He's my counselor. 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 He's my counselor. It means he will give me the hint. He will give me the gist. Jesus said to his disciples, when they arrest you and they take you before the judge, do not meditate on what you want to say. Because at that point, at the nick of time, what you need to say will be given to you. The gist, the hint, the revelation, the wisdom, the idea. You will get it. You're not alone now. Because you have a counselor. You have a counselor. He will tell you not this way, this way. He's the one that teaches you to profit. And he will lead you in the way that you should go. He will guide you with his eye. He will say to you, this is the way. This is the way. This is the way. This is the way. Even if you take the wrong turn, he will lead you back. He will lead you back. He will lead you back. He's a counselor that is for you. For you. How? He's your advocate. Advocate is your defense attorney. He's your lawyer now. The Holy Ghost has been hired by God to stand for your case. Any case against you, he speaks against it. That's why you must say the right thing all the time. Because he's saying the right thing on your behalf. Oh, but I messed up. You have an advocate. You have someone that can go and meet your boss in his dream. And say, give her one more chance. Give her one more chance. Give her one more chance. And your boss is struggling in the dream. And say, no, I'm sacking her tomorrow. First thing tomorrow. No, give her one more chance. Give her one more chance. And the boss walks into the office. Still wanting to fire you. And the Holy Ghost tells someone to favor your boss that morning. And your boss gets a text. And he smiles into your desk. And says, God saved you. God saved you. I wanted to fire you. But I just got good news now. And I said I should also be merciful to you. No, my helper was working behind the scene. I got a helper. I got a helper. And he's my strength now. He's my strength now. When all strength is gone, he's still my strength. When all hope is gone, he's still my hope. When all power is gone, he's still my power. When all life is gone, he's still my life. He's my strengthener. I'm sure you've been there. When you told yourself, I can't take it anymore. I just can't take another one. I just can't take it again. And you couldn't explain it. Energy just came. You took more than another one. You took like another 10. You took another 20. You said, I don't know where I'm standing, but I'm still standing. You have a strengthener. Strengthener. He is your strengthener. We are not without strength. We are not without strength. In our flesh, we might feel the strength is failing. But while the outward man is perishing, oh, the inward man is renewed. 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 Glory to God. He is my intercessor. Sometimes you feel like praying, you don't know what. You're praying, you don't know why. Because in the intercessory ministry of the Holy Ghost, he will get you to pray for her, get you to pray for him. And you're just praying. And you're praying because he's the intercessor. He won't pray all by himself. He prays through us, walking through us, standing in gaps for us. Places where we can't, things we cannot do. It's just firing, firing, firing. Many lives have been saved because of intercessions. People standing in, things happening. Oh, you're not alone. You're not alone. I like it when the Bible calls him a standby. 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 Why are we not seeing him manifest? Because we don't understand he's a standby. You think sometimes he just used to jump in. Sometimes he won't jump in. He's a gentleman. If you remember how they do it in wrestling, there's a tag team. So when I can't handle it anymore, I tag. And the enemy wants to stop me from getting to the ropes to tag my partner. Because my partner will not jump into the ring by himself. I need to tag. I need to tag. You know, sometimes we're not tagging because we tell ourselves, I can handle it. The Holy Ghost saying, no, I'm standing by. I'm standing by. I'm standing by. I'm standing by. You say no. And I'm sure we've gotten into trouble. I too, thinking, I can handle it. I can handle it. But he's standing by. Stand by. Stand by. The moment you tag, hey. 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 Then you wonder, what have I been doing since? What have I been doing since? My standby was stronger than me all the while. Why didn't he start the fight? It's like in a relay race. The fastest runner is either in the first leg, last leg. They share the two strengths. One runs first to get a head start on everybody else. They leave the two weak guys, or the weaker two, in the middle lanes. The second leg, the third leg. Then the guy that you know. Even if the first team is going, the second team is going. If he has a nickname, everybody's hailing him. Maybe his nickname is what? Skori or something. Start hailing him. Skori, Skori, Skori. And lane one, team one has gone. Team two has gone. Team three has gone. The guy is shaking. The guy is waiting. The guy is looking at you. And you're already looking with a sorry face. Ah, ah, ah. He's saying, don't worry, calm down. Calm down, calm down, calm down, calm down, calm down, calm down. Just hand me the baton of your life. Hand me the baton of your finances. Hand me the baton of your ministry. You've run the race as far as you can run. Your strength has gotten to how far it can get to. Your wisdom has peaked. Me, I'm everlasting. You are finite. I'm infinite. You are limited. I'm unlimited. Let me take the baton from you. Watch me take over. Watch me outrun. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. When it comes upon a man, when it's stirred within a man, mighty things happen. Mighty things happen. Mighty things happen. You know, he's your healer, but he's also your health. He is both. If you need healing, he's there. But it's also your perfect health. For he that raised up Jesus from the dead, he lives in you. The same spirit of resurrection. They said it's tumor. He says, all right. Someone lives in me. It says ovarian cyst. It says fine. And you're single and they're pushing you. Quickly look for someone to impregnate you if you're not married. And many times we take those counsels. And he was just watching. You could have just handed me the baton. I would have finished that cancer for you. But you always think, no, they said. But what am I saying? Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? They've told you what they want to say. What have I said? I can finish this thing overnight. Because I am fruitfulness. Isaiah 32 and 15 says, when the Spirit is poured from on high, the wilderness will become a fruitful field. The fruitful field will become a forest. You say, no, I'm not fruitful. When the Spirit is there, he doesn't understand fruitlessness. He doesn't. I say, what do you mean? Because anywhere he is, there's fruitfulness. Oh, but he's in my life. What's happening? Let him flow. That's why we're here tonight. Let him flow. Let him flow. Acknowledge who he is. You are in me. I can't be fruitless. Me. No. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Diabetes is running high in you. You've cut the sugar. You've cut everything else. It still affects. Listen. Resurrection is inside you. Life is inside you. Nobody might even know you're asthmatic. Or maybe they know or they don't know. So you run away from dust. You run away from everything. What if there's a day you cannot run? What if? For the law of the Spirit of life has made you free. Who is this Holy Ghost? He is the Spirit of resurrection. He picked the dead body of Jesus, the lifeless, bloodless body of Jesus, and resurrected it back, still without blood. You have blood. You're breathing. How much work will he do in you that is difficult? Or more difficult than what he did in Jesus. Your own is easy. Piece of cake. Oh, you don't understand. The doctor said it's hepatitis B. Name all the alphabets. It's a piece of cake. For he that is in you is greater. 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 The greater one lives in you. 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 The greater one is on your inside. Inside, inside, inside. Greater is he that is in you. The greater one. He's a greater one. He's a greater one. He's a greater one. He's the greater one. He's the greater one. How great is he? He's life all by himself. What is life? Life is that thing that death does not understand. I'll say what I said again. Life is that which death does not understand. The same way light is that which darkness does not understand. Don't forget your John chapter 1, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness still is trying to understand it. Darkness can't understand light. Darkness can't understand light. The doctor said they would amputate your leg. You said, no, give me 3 days. What do you want to do with 3 days? I want to fast. Maybe not. I want to pray. Maybe not. Look at that, your leg. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in me, he that raised Christ from the dead will give life to this my body. While the fullness of that is immortalization, the preliminary state of it will destroy every sickness and every disease. You have stomachache for 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 years. Sit down somewhere in your house or take a walk. He said you will lay hands on the sick. They'll recover. You have that hand. Ha! And the spirit is in you. Place it there. Take a walk. Someone says, are you praying? Maybe not. I'm fanning myself. Listen, if you touch a little voltaic material, it will shock you. But the degree of the voltage is the degree of the shock. So sometimes the thing is still running around our life because the degree of the shock is small. Shake. So the thing shakes and it's standing. Tell yourself, I give you 1 week. Take your time. Netflix can wait. Telemundo can wait. I'm serious. The reason why many times we become prayer project is the energy in us, we don't release it on the matter we are facing. We have time for the things we shouldn't have time for. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have pastimes. No, I'm not. I'm saying if you have WAEC, if you have exam tomorrow and it's maths and you've not read maths, if you read English, you will still fail. You are reading, but you are reading the wrong thing now. Listen, there are even times that playing, you know, back then, maybe let me use a very old song, Stomp. You know, I like Stomp. I mean, I appreciate Kirk Franklin a whole lot. But there's a time not to play Stomp. There's no time not to play. No. Stop the music. What I need is high tension energy on this matter. Any song that doesn't line up, wait. Any book that doesn't line up, hold on. Listen, if you are dead in 3 weeks, you won't read those books. Face this thing. Some say, but why are spiritual people going through stuff? I learned something from Kenneth Copeland many years ago. You can find the material, Wisdom, the Principal Thing. An old tape. His mom spent nights always in prayer. He said she was rushed to the hospital and he went there. And he ministered to her. She had pneumonia and a few other things and everything was gone. But she was still there. He said, but Lord, I release the anointing, the healing power. Jesus said, yeah, you release a healing anointing and the sickness that the healing should deal with is gone. He said, Lord, so what's left? He said, she's experiencing wear and tear. And the healing power does not deal with wear and tear. He said, oh, that's new. Jesus said, yeah. That Psalm 103 says, he renews my youth. Renewal deals with wear and tear. Healing deals with sickness and disease. She said, okay. But how did she get into this case if she always is in prayer with you every night? She said, because she's not listening to me. And if you got that, she's in prayer every night. She's not listening. He said, because at her age, she should have paced what she was doing. But she's doing it every night and wearing her body out. If she will continue to do that, she should have now released her faith for renewal. To continue what she's doing. Just the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This same Spirit. Every sickness in you dies. And listen, any sickness that shows up tomorrow still should die. Because the power in you. Isaiah said something in chapter 10, verse 27. That in that day, his burden will be taken from off our shoulder. His yoke from off our neck. That the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. What is a yoke? It's what you use to plow animals. You put two animals. You usually quote, be not unequally yoked. A yoke, you put two animals of equal size. And you put a wooden thing on their necks to clip their necks together. And you attach a farming instrument to them. So as they move forward, they are helping you to plow the ground. So a big animal with a small animal is an unequal yoke. So a yoke is that wooden thing. So it says the burden will be lifted. The yoke will be destroyed, not broken. To break is break. What is broken can be mended. Bible did not use break. I know we say anointing breaks the yoke. It destroys it. It corrodes it. It corrupts it. It turns it ineffective. So the anointing there is also the word fatness or fattening. The fatter the animal gets, the yoke starts having a hard time around his neck. The fatter it gets, the yoke has a hard time. So the bigger the animal gets, the yoke will snap. So the anointing is called a fattening. So when you're charging up, you're fattening yourself. You're stirring up something. Have you noticed that sometimes when you pray stretch, favor comes. Finances show up. Doors that were closed, they open. Why didn't they open before? Because you were not fattening the matter. The fatter you are, the more difficult the thing can stay around you. When you spend time meditating, you find that things just... something happens. Why? Because you're fattening the thing. Listen, you're living here to go and face what's in front of you. Not the way you faced it before. You smile at the thing and say, now I'm coming. And I'm not coming alone. This is my fatter version now. You say, hello, problem. Meet the new me. He said, no, I know what to do to you. No, I know what to do to you. He says, no, I'm bigger now. I said, no. I've always been big. I just didn't know. For the greater one lives inside me. Who is this Spirit? Bible calls him the hand of the Lord. Hand of the Lord. Hand of the Lord. Hand of the Lord. When the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, Bible said he ran. And how did he run? Ahab was on his chariot, going to the gates of Jezreel, going back into the city. A man walking on barefoot, on leg. The Holy Ghost came on him. He gathered his cloth. And then he ran. That means Ahab's guys are going. Elisha is running. Ahab's guys are going. Elisha is running. Someone says. And then they are looking. And he outruns horses. And the king will use the best horses. The king will use the best chariots. But when the hand of the Lord, when the influence of the Holy Ghost came upon Elijah, he ran. Now, no matter how far back you think your life is. Oh, my mates are gone. Let them go in the path of God for their lives. The faster person is not the right person. If you and I are going to Lagos and Ibadan, I'm going to Jebu and you're going to Ibadan, and we meet somewhere at Burger. I'm trying to show you how fast I can be. You know I can miss my way to Shagam. Because I'm chasing your race. You are still on your track because you are going to Ibadan. And we're driving. And I get to Shagam interchange and I forget. Because I'm chasing your race. No, Bible says you will bring up your own fruit. In your own season. So what if I miss my season? There's someone that created times and seasons. He reroutes. by the influence of his spirit. So while Elizabeth would be telling Mary, I'm happy for you, have a baby, Elizabeth herself is saying, it's never too late. Listen, who is this Holy Ghost? It's called the hand of God. It's called the finger of God. Jesus said, you tell me that I have a demon, but if I, by the finger of God, do these mighty works amongst you, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Who is his Holy Spirit? He is the endowment with power. He is the infiller, the baptizer. Who is this Holy Spirit? Who is this Holy Spirit? I'm going to end on this. He is the presence of God. He is the presence of God. Thank you, Lord. He is the presence of God. In the Old Testament, Adam knew about the presence. He heard the work of God in the garden. God appeared to Abraham. God appeared to Moses. Moses saw spectacular dimensions of God's manifestation. Moses was with God on the mountain. He came back. Of course, the Bible tells in the New Testament that it was an angelic operation. But it still was an operation of the presence of God. And that presence was so strong that when Moses came down, his face was glowing. The presence of God was so strong in there. It could only be properly located in the most holy place. In there. In there. Nobody could approach the presence. Because after a while, they had to now make the ark to typify and represent the presence of God. So where the ark is, that's where the presence is. Why did David say, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of God. Because if you need God, you have to go to where the ark is. That's where to find God. That's where the presence is. Moses instituted the tent, so he knew about the ark. You can't approach that presence carelessly. You can't even approach the presence if you're not a high priest. You can't. There's a presence. The ark represented the presence. The ark got to the house of Obed-Edom. You know the story. 3 months it stayed in Obed-Edom's house. And Obed-Edom prospered. The ark in Obed-Edom's house brought prosperity. When the Israelites were going to war, they carried the ark. The priest would take the ark first in battle. They know when the ark is here, we win. We have victory. We have the ark. We have the presence. David knew about that presence. He loved the presence, danced around the presence, sang the presence. There was just this beauty about the presence of God. It was the answer to everything. They needed to cross the river Jordan. Joshua told them, you've not been this way before. Let the priests go first. Bible said as the priest stepped into the water, it parted. Why? It was the presence of God. The psalmist said the mountains, they skip like rams. Hills like little lambs. Why? He said, tremble thou, O earth, at the presence of the Lord. Presence. That means his presence for Obed-Edom was prosperity. For Israel was direction. For the journey to Jordan, it was a parting of impossible ways. The presence was the answer for the Jews every year. When the high priest goes there to offer the sacrifices, and then he comes to decree the jubilee for the rest of the year, or decree the atonement for the next year. That presence was everything they looked forward to. And then Jesus walks upon the face of the earth. He didn't need to look for the ark, because he himself carried the presence. in John chapter 5, he stood by the pool of Bethesda, and a man was waiting for the stirring of the water. You don't have to wait. I am the one that sends the person that is stirring the water. Get up and take up your bed. Go home. So he now carried a presence. And not just the entire. Everything they tried to get was now him. But the Jews would go to the temple and yap Jesus in the temple. But that your temple was always all about him. But don't forget, presence. So at the tomb of Lazarus, he didn't go alone. He went with the presence. How did he multiply 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Presence. If I had the ark, like Obed-Edom did, I know I will prosper. Because God is not unfair. If he prospered Obed-Edom, he will prosper me because I have the ark. But Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? No, Paul, no. No. He didn't call you the ark. He didn't call you the most holy place. He said you are the entire temple, collectively as a church, and also individually. It means the presence that blessed Obed-Edom now lives inside me. No. No. I can never be poor. Listen. Not by power. Nor by might. But how? His spirit. Because when he's somewhere, your dullness and dumbness is converted to smartness. Presence. 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 If his presence can bring wealth, I can never be sick also. Why? The presence the Holy Ghost carries, sickness cannot stay there. Can't stay there. Can't stay there. I have the presence of God in me. That means this Holy Ghost we talked about now is living inside you. As in you. He's living the one who blew upon the earth in Genesis 1. He's in you right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. I'm not the same again. I never was, but now I'm knowing, so I can be. I can be. I can be. I can be. I can't 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 be. Oh. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together. Together worthy, Just sing to him in your own language, natural and spiritual language. Just sing to him. Just sing in tongues. Shake it up, 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 shake it